This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to the doctor because of my eyes, I can't see. Stones,
heavy like the love you show. I just kind of chuckled and threw it back in my backpack like...
A lot of times our clients are heterosexual couples, about 40% actually.
That's so nasty.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And tonight, we'll give you an update on the BP oil leak. We also have Pastor William Rennick joining us from Joyful Union Congregation. In a moment, Colleen Kristen Brewster from the On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster travel agency on a very, very important topic having to do with our children. And a new cruise, a new age style cruise, helping kids lose weight. Also later tonight, Lindsay Lohan is hours away from jail, and she's as nervous as hell. And that's healthy. Ms. Lohan, I'm the first person maybe to tell you, that's okay. You're fine. You're supposed to be nervous about going to jail. You're supposed to be afraid of going to jail. You're supposed to be upset when you go to jail. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Chicago, the great city of Chicago, WKRS, 1220 AM, and in State College, Pennsylvania, the home of Penn State, WBLF, 970 AM. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, which is the right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. This is where you must go. You have to go. You simply must. As John Hurt said in Alien, we must go on. We have to go on. And that was just before, of course, that thing hatched on his face.
That was the part there.
Yeah, that's right when the thing sucked his face. But still, you have to go on. So, anyway, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. You get live streaming video of the show right now. Right now, live streaming audio of the show right now. You can also access literally hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of audio. And you are certainly welcome to join in our comments section, which only subscribers can join in on. You get guaranteed email response from your congenital host here, Phil Hendry, so it's a beautiful thing. It's philhendryshow.com. Massachusetts parents are angry over kids being sent home with fat reports. If you can feature this, folks, this is in today's news. In a moment, we'll have Colleen Kristen Brewster on to talk about this. Massachusetts parents are angry and dismayed over a public school policy that sees students getting sent home with fat letters. According to MyFoxBoston.com, many schools across the state began sending body mass index reports and letters home with students in order to flag possible obesity issues to parents. Lori Ann Summer is a parent. She said, to have a piece of paper like this come home in their backpack with them is very, very concerning to me. Her 9-year-old daughter, Shelby, an active gymnast and athlete, was characterized as borderline overweight. Her BMI was 19.43, which brought her to 84.38%, and 85th percentile is considered overweight, said social worker Lori Ann Sumner. Lori Ann Sumner tells Fox TV Boston that she was upset with the letter labeling her 9-year-old daughter as being overweight. Now, I want to find out here, is this the mother or this is the mother, okay.
So to have a piece of paper like this come home in their backpack with them was very, very concerning to me. Her BMI was 19.43, which brought her to 84.38%, and 85th percentile is considered overweight. It could be a good tool if you know how to utilize it, but they're going home blindly to parents, and it's just numbers, and they don't know how to interpret it.
Now, she says, the little girl, Shelby, says she doesn't mind the letter because she knows she's not fat.
I just kind of chuckled and threw it back in my backpack, like, whatever. I think I would be considered big for my grade and age, but definitely not overweight. I think for people who got these letters and can't really handle it because they think they're trying to take it into their own hands, I think don't take it into your own hands because it's just going to make matters worse. Take it to your doctor.
All right, Colleen Kristen Brewster joining us right now from On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, which is a travel agency in Laguna Beach, California. Colleen, good evening. It's been a long time.
Well, I was just thinking earlier tonight, it really has been a long time since we've been on your program, and we're really excited to be with you and really excited to be talking about Drop the Weight, and these are our kid cruises. These are fun cruises. These are, when we say new age cruises, I don't want anybody to get the idea that we're involved in some kind of yoga or anything else. This is healthy This is all American. This is drop the weight.
Okay, now drop the weight. You're talking about kids, right?
That's right. So these are kids whose ages range anywhere from 9 to 13 or 14 years of age. They have this body mass, mass index that we were talking about. They are overweight. You heard that mother in Boston, and God bless her. That's a lady who is a little bit on the side of denial. And, you know, as the song says, you know, I'm the queen of Egypt. I'm living on denial. We don't want our moms to do that. We don't want our kids to do that. And so when they go on these kid cruises, on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, really what we're telling these children is the following thing. You guys are in control. You are in control of your lives. And there is nothing that you do to help yourself, nothing that you do to take off the weight and be the person that you want to be that is bad. And we help you, and we do it very quickly. We make it fun. And, yes, it is healthy. There's been an awful lot of misinformation. We're really proud, though, of the fact that what we do more than anything else is we do correct the misinformation.
Well, what misinformation are you talking about? Now, just before you tell me that, we're talking about a cruise that you guys have set up for overweight kids. That is the party cruise, or you call it the party circle. Why do you call it that?
Bill, we love the title because it is the party circle. We're going from San Pedro Long Beach around Catalina Island, and we do that for a week. So we're really doing this party circuit between Long Beach and Catalina. $4,200 for each individual child gets them a beautiful view room, all of their meals, all of their activities, and it is. It's like a party circle, and I'll tell you, we've had kids so excited to come back. They want to drop the weight. I've never seen people, Phil, even adults, more committed, really, to dropping the weight. Those are the three key words, and we have reinvented for our youngsters and maybe for our adults what that means in a modern society.
We're on with Colleen Kristen Brewster, who has a travel agency. Your travel agency, Colleen, and then I'll ask you about drop the weight. Your travel agency sounds like, I was saying to somebody, it sounds like the name of a TV show, you know?
That's really, Phil, that's it, because we want it to be an entertainment experience. We really think that being in the travel business is like being an entertainment director. It's like being a social director. It's like someone who is in charge of the party. We're in charge of the party, and we want to make sure that everyone is there, fit, and ready for it.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What is drop the weight in the context of this party circle cruise? Now, these are kids that are 9 to 13.
9 to 13-year-old kids, Phil, and again, it's all-inclusive for the $4,200 gets you the... These are view rooms. We have some double occupancy. But really what it gets you is a unique experience for your young person. Drop the weight is something, by the way, Phil, that a catchphrase that we used to say to each other, myself and my girlfriends, when we were on vacation. We said, well, just drop the weight, as if it was magic. And then we realized, you know something, maybe it can be magic. And to that end, Phil, here's what we do. We have the kids after their meals. We know that it takes 20 minutes to digest a full meal. So in 20 minutes, it takes 20 minutes to digest actually one half of the meal that you've consumed. So in the 20 minutes that you have taken to digest the major nutrients and the major minerals, the rest is really just taking up space. There is a great deal of stomach acid, and we have the kids drink very delicious mango shakes. There's a lot of different flavors. We do the mango, we do the pomegranate. It is a alkaline type drink, which cuts a lot of the acidic content of the food. And then we tell the kids, and it is a game, like anything in life really should be, if you think of how successful we are when we're having fun. And we say to the kids, drop the weight. It can either be Leslie, one of my partners, or one of the kids will be on our PA system. Let's drop the weight, and the kids all run. And this is from the main dining area of the boat, where we run out to the railing, and generally this is after we've done our circle of Catalina at least once, and we hit the railing, and we drop the weight.
But this is purging, isn't it?
We don't use that word, and we don't use the word vomit.
Well, but how do we get parents and adults to know? Because there's going to be a lot of parents and adults who are going to have a negative take on this.
So I know that, and let me explain this to them so that they're not frightened. I don't want any parent to come away from this with anything other than the truth, and here it is. The word purge, the word vomit, the word bulimia, these are words that have taken on such meaning, we don't know what they mean anymore. It is one of those anomalies. The words are all negative, and yet, do we know what they mean? No, we don't. Purging is as it was practiced by people in the 90s or the 80s or in years past, a very destructive thing, Phil. But drop the weight is our way of taking off of that the onus of something unhealthful. There's no damage to the teeth from the stomach acid because of the mango. The food has been digested to the point where all of the major nutrients and all of the major minerals have been taken in, and only that which is left, which is devoid of any and all really nutrient value, cell, it's then drop the weight time. And the kids go out to the railing, and we tell them, you do it the way you want to do it, drop the weight. And we really, I got to tell you, there's laughter. There is more fun because the kids know what they're doing is going to show up on the scale very soon.
And what do you say to parents, Colleen, who say that this is a, this is bulimia? This is kind of a gussied-up bulimia.
What I say to those parents is, I say, let me explain to you something that you may not know. When you say the word bulimia, what you're doing is you're giving that word a context. You're saying that these are children that can't take in the nutrients of food because they need to drop the weight. They have to do a pre. We don't do a pre. We wait the 20 minutes until the major nutrients and minerals have been absorbed into the system, and then we drop the weight. And Phil, that is a very big difference between what we do and the very destructive practice of bulimia. Bulimia is, as I say to my kids, for losers. Drop the weight is for winners. On the Colleen Kristen Brewster, on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, party circle, cruise. And Phil, we would love it if you would be on our cruise in the second week in August to MC some of our events.
Well, you know what? Let me just think about that right now.
Absolutely.
Right now. But let me put you on hold and give our number out here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Now, I've always heard that bulimia, or whatever you call it, and maybe I shouldn't be calling it that, Colleen Kristen Brewster's cruise is called Drop the Weight. And it's 9 to 13-year-old overweight kids, of which we have a great many in this country, who then force themselves to vomit. Well, I've been passed the note, don't say vomit, say drop the weight. All right. If David Hall is on the line, we can talk to him about that, bud?
Yeah, well, he's calling in now.
All right, because I don't want to run afoul of this lady, but at the same time, I want to make sure that we are giving the information right. So what we're talking about is a cruise for 9 to 13-year-old kids where they, quote, drop the weight, which is essentially them going to the railing of the ship and throwing up the food that part of the stomach that is still full of food after they've absorbed the minerals and the nutrients, right? Okay. 877-876-PHIL. Is this a way to control obesity among our young people? A cruise whereby we show them how to throw up after the minerals, vitamins, and nutrients have been absorbed. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to our program here on the line with me, Colleen Kristen Brewster from On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, a travel agency in Laguna Beach. And you have something called Cud Watch, too, which I want to hear about, Colleen.
Well, it's for mothers who want to be aware of the destructive habits, Phil, of other parents, we really want to get this information out as soon as we can, because more than anything else, this is what's holding back a lot of kids from dropping the weight.
All right. Now, David Hall has joined us for just a brief minute. David, how are you doing?
Yeah, Phil, I'm doing good. I wanted to, on behalf of Ms. Brewster, mention to you that she is a possibly an advertiser in a program.
And well, good.
We're looking forward, Phil, to a good relationship with you.
And as such, we would like, and I know Colleen would like to, let your audience know that this is a new day, really, in nutrition, especially when it comes to nutrition for kids. And for you to use the words, drop the weight, and not use these other words, which, Colleen, you've got a good phrase for them.
Well, they're really just regressive words. They are words that take us into a time and a place that we are not in any longer, Phil. You know.
Well, what word are we talking about? Puke?
Well, yeah, we're talking about the words puke and vomit and bulimia. Those are words that, as Colleen said in her literature that I was reading, these are words that don't really take us forward. Colleen, you say it much better than I do.
Well, they're words that are not—they're not moving us into the future. They're moving us into the past. And so if you, Phil, on your program would stop using those words, we can begin, and we can begin now, a new day where kids are dropping the weight and we are not beholden to these negative stereotypes.
All right, I just want to be clear. I'm not allowed to use the word puke or vomit?
I would rather that you not.
Only, Phil, we're not really, I don't believe in censorship, so I don't believe in telling people not to do anything that they're not comfortable with doing. But I want you to know that I look forward to advertising on your program. And if I do, really, I need for you to cease the use of these regressive phrases.
Yeah, and Bill, I don't think we're censoring what you're saying.
Well, all right. I might have a different view of that. If we're going to be talking, can I open that up to the audience?
You're talking about making this part of the topic?
You know, Phil, but you can do whatever you want. I don't believe in censoring anybody. I don't think it's anything that I want to address. I have developed this philosophy over a great many months. We've looked into what works and what doesn't work. This is how we feel. We don't use those words. If people want to talk about that, I'm sure there's going to be a part of your program where you can do that.
No, but I mean right now.
You know, it's not anything I'm really interested in. I suppose if people want to bring that up, you can talk with them about.
We don't want to get sidetracked, Phil, with a lot of stuff about why you can't. I'm not censoring what you're saying. I'm simply saying to you that Ms. Brewster represents a lot of money. And
are you, Ms. Brewster, so my audience can be clear, and I don't think I'm being talking out of school. Are you saying you won't advertise on my show if I use the words vomit or puke in place of drop the weight, or if I use the word bulimia?
No, I don't really come from a negative place like that. I don't really come from a negative. My philosophy, Phil, is really about enhancing the life experience. It is not about setting limits. But your question is one that sets up limits, and I don't do that.
But I need to have it answered. I mean, I think...
Well, you said the audience needs to know the answer to that. Why?
Well, I think they need to know the answer to it so that there is so they know, you know, why there's advertisers.
Yeah, but why do they need to know that other than... Why do they... They don't need to know that. They don't need to know that you're not allowed to use those words. They just hear the word, drop the weight.
But if I'm interviewing Ms. Brewster, and she's... And I say...
You know something, Phil? This is a really important product. I understand that you have questions. I really would rather, David, if it's all right with you, if we just go ahead and take the phone calls or whatever.
Yeah, Phil, let's talk about this later because I think you've got good questions. It's not going to change. We're going to insist that you not use puke or vomit or bulimia because that ruins the product that Ms. Brewster is selling. But that is not to say they're not good questions.
David, what I'm saying is my audience is going to think that I'm bought and paid for by an advertiser.
I don't know the. You know, you realize that we do take brokered interviews. You know that, don't you?
I knew that we had Ted Bell.
Well, we're going to be taking more. Okay? You know the state of the business. We have to have these kinds of advertisers. So I want you to interview her as if she's a real guest. You understand?
All right, hold on. From 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
On the air with Colleen Kristen Brewster here, our number 877-876-PHIL. We had a very interesting exchange there with David G. Hall just before the break as to whether or not we should use the words bulimia, vomit, or even the more, colloquial puke. You don't use those words, Colleen, because you say that they're a regressive, they're a negative word to use. And so I won't use them. But that is also saying you have a product to sell, and I'm supposed to help you sell it. I'm not exactly sure, you know.
What we have is not a product to sell. We have a lifesaver. We have a lifesaver for kids between the ages of 9 and 13. We have obese children. We have an epidemic of obesity among our kids that has not been addressed in any sensible way. On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster has begun a series of these party circle cruises for our kids. We go from Los Angeles, San Pedro Harbor, around Catalina Island, and what we do then is embark on an adventure for the summer that will result in these kids making life-changing decisions where they can look in a mirror and feel so good about themselves when they drop the weight. Dropping the weight is going from the dining room where we have already ingested our minerals and our vitamins. It's making a fun run to the rail, and it's doing what kids like to do, Phil. They like to spit. They like to, you know, hawk up a loogie, as they like to say. They like to, do those things. They're going to drop the weight. And
well, but you're saying they're going to vomit.
We don't use the word vomit. These kids are...
Let me jump in. This is David, Phil.
Yeah, I know.
We told you not to use the word vomit. And
well, am I doing an interview here, or am I? Is she advertising?
Right now, we're seeing whether or not she will buy time on your show. So I'd rather you treat her as an advertiser.
You know, Phil, I'm not really into censorship, but the kids go to the rail, and they do what kids like to do. They let that weight go out of them and into the ocean, and they look at the seagulls flying around it, and it sounds gross to adults. To kids, it's the most fun thing in the world.
877-876-PHIL. To kids, it's the most fun thing in the world. All right. Here is Dean. He sucks. 877-876-PHIL. Why? So the kids are going to be... I can't say bulimic.
We would rather you not use the word bulimic. And we would rather you not use the word vomit. If you can hold on for a minute. She is, Phil, understandably, and I think your audience understands this, she is understandably upset with the fact that you keep using the word puke. And
it's an easy mistake to make. I mean, I'm saying puke... When she says that they run from the kids are on a cruise to drop the weight, all right?
So this is exactly what the kids are doing. They're out there to drop the weight. They're out there to make themselves feel better and to look better. Why do you want to use a phrase or a term that means something so destructive that already has imprinted on it negativity? That's why drop the weight has become something that is much, much more important. And that's what we want to do. We want these kids to be happy.
Right. And using the word, Colleen, the word that you don't want Phil to use does what?
What it does is it reminds these parents of a time when they were misinformed. We've got a lot of cut chewers out there. Can I give
This is an example of what Colleen calls a cut jewer. This is a woman who, Phil, doesn't understand about kids and weight loss.
Basically, the most popular question we would ever get for years was...
That's a sperm bank cut, okay?
Well, I'm looking... I don't want the sperm bank. I want the one with the... here it is.
The paper like this come home in their backpack with them was very, very concerning to me. Her BMI was 19.43, which bordered at 84.38%, and 85th percentile is considered
overweight. Are you listening to that woman? That woman doesn't know what she's talking about.
A good tool.
That's a mother.
You know how to utilize
she may be a mother, but she's using a lot of terms that she knows.
Numbers,
it doesn't make any difference her BMI is this. Listen to the girl, Phil, now. This is the little girl. She knows she's overweight. She knows she needs... She knows she needs something. She needs to drop the weight.
I just kind of chuckled and threw it back in my backpack, like, whatever. I think I would be considered big for my grade and age, but definitely not overweight. I think for people who got these letters and can't really handle it because they think they're trying to take it into their own hands, I think don't take it into your own hands because it's just going to make matters worse. Take it to your
girl.
Doctor.
She is, obviously, Phil, she's really overweight. She's big. In fact, if you wanted to really be, if you want to be honest, she's huge. She's,
well, why do you say she's huge?
She's 90 pounds. She's 4 feet something. That girl is on her way to a life of misery. And so dropping the weight is something where she can jump up from the table. She can go over to the railing on the ship. She can drop the weight.
Yeah, but you don't say that she's going to go to the railing of the ship and puke.
Well, I've noticed that I haven't taken any phone calls. I don't know.
What's with the phone calls, sir?
I don't think people are going to be calling in about, you know, signing their kids up for a cruise where there's, you know, kids...
Please don't use it.
All right, where there's drop the weight. But you know as well as I do, the parents out there are hearing... that you have a cruise, Ms. Brewster, where kids go to the railing and throw up.
I told you not.
I don't know if I can keep...
I told you not to use the term throw up or puke. Okay, that's why we're not getting any phone calls, because people are put off by...
People are not put off by me using the term. People are put off by the fact that they hear you telling me not to use those words.
Well, they hear me telling you not to use the words because they're not accurate.
That's really the point, Phil. They are not accurate words. They don't really tell the story of what we're doing.
What they're doing with drop the weight has nothing to do with vomiting. It has to do with these kids learning how to control their weight.
Let me ask you something. How can I ask you about this drop the weight where I will know what where it's descriptive?
You can ask me what the food does. Once it goes into the system.
All right, what does the food do once it goes into the system?
It stays in the stomach for 20 minutes. It is absorbed into the body, the nutrients. Then the food itself, the food particles, the digested food is then, I don't know.
The digested food is then allowed to, I think you said...
It's allowed to escape.
It's allowed to escape.
And the digested food is allowed to escape. Does the human being do anything to allow the food to escape?
Ms. Brewster?
Yes, we unlock the gates.
Unlock the gates.
All right, well, I'm sorry, David. You know, I have to tell my audience, what you're talking about is these kids are taught how to vomit.
You know something?
I can't keep doing this.
You know something, what you're doing is you're taking a potential advertiser, you're purposefully making her uncomfortable.
If she's saying lose the weight, and excuse me, Ms. Brewster, if you're saying lose the weight, and I can't tell people what that means, they're going to ask me, what does that mean? And I can't use the word puke, I can't use the word throw up.
No, I'm sorry.
All right, well, she is now disconnected. And we've just lost an advertiser. And the reason why we lost the advertiser...
David, the reason why we lost that advertiser is because I can't understand what she's saying without using the words.
It doesn't make any difference. That was real money to this show. If you would have just conducted the interview and not asked a lot of questions And you think the audience is going to think you're lying. The audience doesn't think you're lying. The audience is being informed. Okay?
So if she says drop the weight, the audience knows what that means.
The audience will know it means what she says it means. And what it means
is... What it means is the food is allowed to escape when we unlock the gates.
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
It means... What does it mean to who?
To you.
It means the food can leave anytime it wants to. Not anytime it wants to. Once you have eaten, as I understand her program, well, it doesn't matter because she's not going to advertise with us.
Well, you know something? That's a good thing.
That's a good thing, huh? Have you seen the economy lately? Are you just living one big party life?
No, I'm very aware of the economy, okay? I'm very aware of the economy. I understand what the economy is all about. I have to work in life to live in the economy. I operate a website that's making money, all right?
Well, good for your website. This is a radio show. And we're trying to hire advertisers, get them on the air. And
yeah, but this whole idea of putting an advertiser on the air as if they're being interviewed, I think it's a little deceptive, all right?
Well, you know something, Phil? No, it is not deceptive. And I think it's wrong of you to say that because that impugns me. I said to you that we would have this lady on the air. You want to know something, friend? We're doing this on the air.
David, go ahead. You were going to tell me what does drop the weight mean?
Drop the weight means what it says. You drop the weight.
No, you don't. Not right away. What is that act of dropping the weight?
I told you. She told you.
She said it's allowing the food to escape by opening the gates.
Yes.
And I asked you, what does that mean to you?
It means that the food that you ate... That was the nutrition was absorbed in. Now that the nutrition is absorbed in, all that's left is this dead mass that you ate. And you allow it to go out of your stomach and out of your mouth.
I allow it to go out of my stomach and out of my mouth by just opening my mouth.
Bill, you know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to make it more difficult for me.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to answer questions the audience would ask. The audience is going to ask me, are you talking about drop the weight, the food goes out of my stomach and out of my mouth? Aren't they going to say that's vomiting?
You know, see, you can't stay away from that word, and that's what caused that lady to hang up. And I will be very shocked indeed if we're able to sign her business.
Well, I don't care. You know
something? I don't know whether you've got a bunch of gold bars under a mountain somewhere or you inherited a lot of money. You are very cavalier with the hard work of other people.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Hold on for a minute. You can sign all the advertisers you want, but if they wreck this radio show, it doesn't make any difference.
How's it going to wreck your show?
By having somebody on to talk about drop the weight?
It means the food goes out of your stomach and sails out of... All right? It sails out of your mouth there.
Well, what does that do?
It means it goes out of your mouth fast.
Well, are you telling me that the audience knows what that is?
Well, take a guess. What happens if food goes out of your mouth fast?
You spit it out.
Oh, what a pain in the...
Well, what?
All right, the food went out. You laid down and your head was spinning, and then the food went out fast.
That's drop the weight.
Yeah. Only you're not laying down with your head spinning because these are little kids. They're not drinking.
All right, well, okay. Thanks, David. 877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall, my vice president of syndication. We just had an advertiser on, Colleen Kristen Brewster, who said that this new cruise... For overweight kids, the Drop the Weight Cruise essentially has the kids eating, waiting 20 minutes while the minerals and the vitamins are absorbed, and then they run to the railing and, quote, drop the weight. But I'm not allowed to use the words vomit, puke, binge, or purge. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and also ahead tonight on the program, we're going to be talking about stores pushing Christmas sales. It's only July, but these stores now want us to get out and shop for Christmas. So are they just trying to, are they trying to turn us all Jewish? We're going to find out later on here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Talk about that.
What?
Because everybody's saying you're being all mean.
Oh, I don't give a crap. We're talking here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. What the hell are we doing? Who's our next guest? Can I get a little tease going here for my producer? Who's the next guest on this show? Pastor Renick?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Everybody says you're yelling at everybody.
I'm yelling at everybody. Look at, why do people buy the video cast? They look at me behind the scenes and they see what's going on. And, you know, there's certain things that I want done on this show, and they're going to get done one way or another. You know, if I got to yell at people, people get yelled at. What are you, all of a sudden a candy ass or something?
Yeah, but I mean, people are going to do it.
No, some people don't do it unless you yell at them. And then again, some people don't do it or do it regardless of the things that you say. You could be kissing their ass up one side and down the next. You could give them a raise. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do the job better. By the same token, you could ignore them, not give them a raise, scream at them every day, and make them get coffee too, and they may be the greatest in the history of the world. People are funny. People are all different. The job's got to get done. That's all, bud, okay?
Yeah, well, about that cud chewing too, and a fat kid.
I don't care, man. That Colleen Kristen Brewster ain't getting on this show.
Yeah, but Mr. Hall, he said that if you don't take that advertiser, that's a lot of money, and that means you won't make any money or anything.
Yeah, what about that? And that means more money for us, too.
Oh, so that's it, huh?
Well, you know that's what, you know that's how the game's played.
Yeah, man, that's how the game's played.
Oh, that's how the game's played, huh? Is that how the game's played? So if I take that advertiser, that's more money for the show, and then you guys make more money. Is that it?
That's how the ball game's played, man.
Yeah, that's how the ball game.
Will you shut up with the ball game's played? Let me tell you something, man. I'm never going to do any brokered interviews on this show. I know they're done. I know they're done all over the radio. They're done by, you know, radio hosts where you bring on the interview and it sounds like it's an interview and it's actually paid for by the guy you're being that's being interviewed.
Say that again.
I'm talking about when you bring on an advertiser,
yeah,
and you pay for them to be there. I mean,
no, you bring an advertiser on that you played.
Yeah,
right. No, what I'm saying is a brokered interview is when the people think that you are being interviewed, but you actually paid them to come on the show to interview you.
You get out of here with this. What does it mean?
Just get this stuff out of here. What does it mean? You know what I'm talking about. When they come on the show and they're paying you to interview them, that's what I mean. God.
Why'd you say so?
What are you guys are asking me? We ain't never going to do that. Okay, I don't care how many Colleen Kristen Brewster on-the-go party circle cruises she does where you can't say puke. All you can say is, you know, lose the weight or drop the weight or something like that. 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhendryshow.com. And if you want to see me losing my mind during a break, if you want to see me actually, you know, we like to say that this is a reality show wrapped around a radio show. And I don't really take any great pleasure in getting crazy. I guess it's just the way I am, you know. But I will say this. Guys like me, and there's a lot of people like me, we are harder on ourselves than anybody else. You know, if you think, you know, there are some people out there who are criminals. I mean, they are just flat out criminal in their behavior and their treatment of people. On my show, I get crazy. There's no question about that. But it's about making the show better, you know? Even if it means that I got to turn down Colleen Kristen Brewster. So if you want to see one of those meltdowns behind the scenes, 877-876-PHIL. All right, we have Pastor William Renick who will be coming on later on the program to talk about something that when I first saw it, man, it blew me away. It was the story that Glenn Beck was losing his sight. Well, he's not really losing his sight. He's had throughout his life a condition, I think, that has gradually, very incrementally degraded his ability or his vision. And Glenn brought it up in a very dramatic fashion, I think, at an appearance he was doing this past weekend. But it was dramatic enough whereby it made the news wires. So Pastor William Renick will be on to talk about that in a few minutes here on The Phil Hendry Show. Troubled actress Lindsay Lohan has slammed her ex-father on Twitter from rehab, saying that he scares her. Well, no kidding. He is a scary guy. He's a weird freak. Somebody ought to kick his ass and stick him back in the boxcar that he came out here on.
The star, who is currently staying in a sober living facility ahead of beginning a what, bud?
What do you mean boxcar?
Like he came out as a hobo.
Yeah. You know what a boxcar is.
I know what a boxcar is. You mean he came out a boxcar?
A boxcar?
A boxcar. He came out as a hobo. He was a bum.
Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody can know that.
Bud, I'm making a comment on the guy. He's a bum.
Oh, well, man, you are stupid. You know that?
I'm not a stupid.
Yeah, you are stupid, and you ask dumb questions, and you never stop asking them. Look at that. Now I'm all out of time. I was going to talk about how Lindsay Lohan was going to blast her father. She said, I don't want Michael Lohan Sr. anywhere near me, no matter where I am. I'm in a great place, and he only brings negativity in my world. You're finally figuring that one out, Lindsay. Not that the fans know what they're talking about, not that the press or the paparazzo, not that we really know what we're doing, but that one you could see three blocks off. That guy was no good. All right, we'll be back with Pastor William Renick here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Basically, the most popular question we would ever get for years was, who does my donor look like? What celebrity
Last night,
look
we established that there was some leakage in the capping stack.
I just kind of chuckled and threw it back in my backpack. Like,
I don't know why Robert Shapiro did what he did, to be honest. I mean, if he's representing her ethically as an attorney.
I am a clown.
Giant douche nozzle.
Famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Is Glenn Beck going to hell? Pastor William Renick joins us. 877-876-PHIL. And our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. All I can tell you is pick up a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video every night. Lately, frankly, I've been worried that we're going to be losing subscribers. I have to be honest with you because I'm not dealing with life very well, I guess. 877-87. I mean, I've been losing my temper on the air. Not on the air, off the air. You know, everybody has heard the Casey Kasem tape. Casey Kasem, by the way, who I've met and know, is as sweet a man as you're ever going to meet. But everyone has heard, the audience has heard, people have heard the Casey Kasem dead dog tapes. And you would think that he's a angry and unhappy man. That's not true at all. He's a good guy, and he flipped out one day when something happened there in the studio that made him flip out. So, all right. I know you guys don't want to know what I'm talking about, so get a backstage pass, and then you will. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. Here the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we will bring on Pastor William Renick to talk here about the story this weekend. Now, I saw this originally, Pastor Renick. And, of course, the first thing that went through my mind, I felt as if it was deja vu, as Yogi Berra says, all over again, because I thought about Rush Limbaugh. And I remember when I got the news about Rush losing his hearing, and I felt very bad. And when I saw this story here about Glenn Beck going blind, you know.
Well, you know, it's going to affect anybody. I don't think there is anybody, whether you're a liberal or you're a conservative, that got nothing to do with anything. It has to do with a member of the human race, a fellow, and you have a fellow broadcaster.
Yes, and you feel for them.
You feel for them. But I will say to you that Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and all of these people, as much as God, you know, in the glory of God, as I've often talked about, should be celebrated every day. I have never been more despondent about the works of God than since Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh on these. And so it is a test for me to love my fellow man.
You feel with the advent of Rush and then Glenn Beck and others, and Rush has been around a long time, that you despaired?
Yes, I did.
Why?
Because I felt that God was giving sway, he was giving voice to a destructive movement. allowing a destructive thing to happen. Now, I'm very aware, Phil, and I don't want anyone to get upset with me. I'm aware that people, everybody has a different opinion. And God bless this country for allowing people to have a different opinion. But I speak from my heart. As you know, I always have.
Right.
And I speak from my soul. Because there was a time in my life when I was lost, you know.
I know that.
There was a time in my life, and I don't mind telling people, that there was a time in my life when I was using that dope, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I was using drugs, when I was behaving in a way that God would not smile upon me.
I know that.
And so, God saved me, you see. The blood of Jesus Christ saved me. You understand that?
Yes, I do.
And so, my joy and the love that has informed my life since that time has never been tested quite the way it's been tested since this man, Glenn Beck.
But, Pastor, let me ask you. That's just one man, you know.
I know that's just one man.
That's just one man, and that's, you have had a joyous experience.
That is my test, though. When I hear a man like Beck, when I hear that Limbaugh, that is the test. And I believe that never in my life would I ever have questioned the existence of God were it not for this man, Glenn Beck.
You question the existence of God after everything that you say you just went through.
After everything, and that's why I brought that up, because I wanted you to know, and you know the story, and I want your audience to know, that I have walked up a very tortured road. I've come up a road that had all kinds of boulder and all kinds of rocks and logs and all kinds of impediment in my way. And I cast them aside. You know that.
Yes, I do.
I took them out, threw the rocks and boulders off the road, because I'm not going to let nothing keep me from where I was going. And then God said to me, "Get Glenn Beck. Now try to believe in me."
But what is it about Glenn Beck that makes...
Hold on for a minute, please. Phil, you know, just hold on for a minute, please. God sent me up a tortured road. I told you. I had to use the drug. I drank. I abused my women. I had nothing to do with my family. I was lost. God had turned his face away from me.
Right.
God had turned his face away from me. And then he resurrected me. As only God can. Bring me back from the dead. He bring me back from the dead. Like he brought Lazarus back from the dead. And then he bring on Glenn Beck. And I say, "God, why'd you save me? Only to test my faith in you."
Why does that test your faith?
Because that tests my faith. Because of the things that man says, Phil. Because of the thing that man stands for. Talking about racism, all this. That white man...
All right, now, can we not go there?
We're not going to go there. I don't have to go there. I'm a black man, so that's where I go. You know, if you don't want me to go there, I won't go there. But I'm going to tell you something. That Glenn Beck, and may God forgive me for saying this, but I don't think God wants me to ask him for forgiveness. I think God has sent me a sign. When I heard that Glenn Beck was losing his eyesight, was going to go blind, I said, "What I see them? That's right." I said, "Lord have mercy, hallelujah."
You were celebrating that a man was losing his eyesight.
That's a direct sign from God Almighty. That's a direct sign from God Almighty. But when I was losing my faith, I didn't want to have nothing more to do with God.
When did this happen to you?
I didn't want to have nothing more to... When did it happen to me? When this man, this Glenn Beck, come along. That's what happened to me.
Like when?
When I said, what do you mean, like when? When the man come on, I heard some of this stuff this man talking about Obama being racist one day, and the next day he don't even know where Alaska come from. And he know where Alaska come from.
But he did say he didn't know where Alaska come from, right?
No, he said that we bought Alaska in the 1950s. He had his dates wrong. But I'm very, very curious. Why? So you're saying as soon as you came on the air, you lost your faith in God?
I lost my faith. I lost my faith that God was going to save the human race. I'd always felt that God was going to save the human race.
What about Jesus? Didn't Jesus come to save the human race?
Jesus came to save those that would be saved. Jesus came to save those that would be saved. But I always felt that being a Christian meant I'm going to try to save the rest, you know. I want to try to get out there. Jesus is only going to save what he can save. Pastor William Lennox, I got other ideas.
Well, what do you mean you have other ideas? It's about Jesus, right?
Yeah, it's about Jesus, but Jesus is dead and gone. 2,000 years ago, that man got hung from a cross. The Romans said, all right, let's call it a day. Down the hill they went, right? Well, guess what? Pastor William Lennox come along. And I want to tell you something right now. You know, and Clara know, that I have healed people on my Saturday night prayer service. You know that, don't you?
I've heard people tell me. I've never been there, yes.
All right, but Clara know. And Glenn Beck. I could put my hand on his eye. I could heal. I could make Glenn Beck see.
Glenn Beck is not blind. You understand that?
No, but he said he's losing it. He said he's losing his eyesight, right?
Yeah.
And I think that God said to me, take heed and take sustenance from the fact Glenn Beck going blind.
Well,
Glenn Beck is going as blind as a bat. And I can see. I come on. And I can see.
Jesus would save him.
Through me. Jesus Christ is going to save Glenn Beck's eyesight through me. See, I'm not saying Jesus don't do the work, but who's he doing it through? Is he doing it through you? Phil, he's doing it?
No, he's not doing it through me.
He's doing it through Clara? He's doing it through me. Why? I'll tell you why. Because right as I was faltering, right at the last possible moment, when I said, I've had it, I can't take it no more. I said, I give up. I give up. If he's going to make Glenn Beck on my TV every day, I don't think God loves us at all. I think this is the end of the world. Glenn Beck come on my TV, I looked at him, and I said, this is the end of the line for the human race. And the next thing I find out, Glenn Beck going blind. Oh, yeah, blind is a bat. And I know I can help him. But I tell you something right now, he's going to have to change some of this mess he talks about.
Pastor Rennick, I have to interrupt you here. Glenn Beck is not going to change what he's saying. He's not going blind. This was a condition diagnosed when he was young. He is incrementally losing his sight, but it's nothing profound.
No, man, come on and talk about losing his sight. I understand what he said.
But here's the bigger issue. He's not going to come to you to be saved.
Well, he's not going to come to me. If somebody said to Glenn Beck, Pastor William Rennick can restore your sight 1,000, 1,000,000%, I guarantee he's shag ass down here. You know he would. You know he would.
I think it's very sad that you find Glenn Beck to be a harbinger of God's lack of love for his children, and conversely, you find Glenn Beck's blindness or possible going blind a good sign from God.
Yes, I did. And you find that bad, huh?
I think that that's a... I think you saying that is distressing, and claiming that you can cure his blindness. 877-876-PHIL. We're on the line with Pastor William Rennick, and we'll take your calls next at 877-876-PHIL as we talk about Glenn Beck and the possibility that he is losing his eyesight. I don't think that it's anything really serious, and indeed the story that I'm reading here, and we'll play you Glenn making these statements this past weekend, but the story I'm reading here is not... certainly does not reflect of anything all that serious. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, now what is this?
Electric Avenue. This is a song. If you heard this song before, Phil, it's about a young brother that is a Jamaican brother, and he's talking about lighting the night up against the destructive nature of the people. He's talking about we're going to go down Electric Avenue. You know, and that's what I'm saying about Glenn Beck. You know, he has to back off his racism.
And you really think Glenn Beck's a racist? I can't hear you.
Yeah, no, hold on for a minute. You can't hear me.
No. Can you turn it down a little bit? Say that again.
I think that Glenn, what I said to you is that Glenn Beck is going blind because of what he's been talking about. Now, all right, you turn that off. The reason why I say that, Bill, is I look in the Bible, and when you sow the seeds of discontent, like Glenn Beck do, God does not favor you. Now, when God said, I'm going to make him go blind, he's sending me a message, Pastor William Renick, a message saying, don't lose hope. Because I made that, you know, white man go blind so that you will have faith.
Wait. God didn't say made that white man go blind.
God speaks to everybody different. And you see, you don't want God to be a racist. God's not a racist, but God's going to speak to me the way he know I'm going to hear him.
But God said to you, I made that white man go blind.
God said, God speak to me the way I'm going to hear it.
Why would you want to hear it that way?
Not because it has nothing to do with me being a racist. It's the language that I use. I look at Glenn Beck. That's a white man. That's all. I'm not saying I don't like him for being a white man. There ain't nothing that I don't want to mistake about Glenn Beck being white. I may make a mess out of his politics. But he, a white man, says God made green apple. Says God made the first green apple.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. You know, some, we're all over the board here tonight with you, man. I'm not exactly sure I understand what your point is. Here is Jason in San Francisco listening on KNEW. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just think the pastor here is just giving the complete wrong attitude. I mean, as far as Glenn Beck is concerned, you sound like you are both the same type of person. You went through a bad stage of your life. Glenn Beck went for a bad stage of his life. I would think at this point, you, with your feelings towards him, especially with your spiritual background, would be more of well-wishing and not towards of hatred. Like, I mean, I hear a lot of hatred in your voice, man.
No. I don't hate the man so much as I don't believe he's good for God's children. Now, look, God's going to judge him, not me. God's not going to say, Pastor Renick, would you judge Glenn Beck? He's going to judge. But right now, it's all on this world.
You got to realize is that you got to realize that God's done.
I say to God, why'd you let this white man come and say the thing he say, you know, that make me doubt you live, you know?
Well, God's going to
judge. And then you said, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jason.
God's going to judge you like God judges Glenn. I think, you know, things that you're put. It's bottom line, it's not for you to judge Glenn. It's for you to be the man of God that you say you are and use your faith to wish him well, whatever he's going through, just like he would probably do the same for you.
That's right. But I said I would heal him. He'd come to my church. I would put my hands on his eyes and make him see.
You can't heal. Cannot heal him.
Through God. Through God. God put his power in me. I can make that man see. Now, I've done that on my Saturday night prayer circle, and my wife's seen it. Everyone's seen it.
Are you telling me that you're inviting Glenn Beck down to your church?
I'm not inviting Glenn Beck. Not going to come to my church. But I'm just saying, if he did, that's my love for him. I will open his eyes.
How are you supposed to heal him? And you're supposed to be a man of faith, but you don't. You don't seem like you have the faith to actually do him any good doing. Your faith is glad that this is happening to him as far as instead of any kind of healing or towards
right. That's a good point. Yet you sound really.
I am now. Look, I'm up until I am glad that he's going blind. I'm glad. I'm happy. It was a red letter day when I found out he's going to be blind, stone cold blind. And I realized that was God. God's saying to me, look, I take care of things, see? You don't have to be upset, I take care of things. Now that I feel good, even though I hope that man goes stone blind, God can work through me.
Why? I mean, this man just said, if you don't have faith, how can you possibly use God's power to heal Glenn Beck?
Because God can move through me, even though I hate Glenn Beck's guts, see, and want him to go stone cold blind, like John Garfield in Pride of the Marines. I don't know if you've seen that, but he got a grenade right in the face, you know. So,
oh God, man! I mean, so you hate his guts,
right?
Even though you're a man of God.
I don't really hate him, but I don't like what he says. And so God's going to use me. Think about how perfect that is. A preacher who almost stopped believing in God because Glenn Beck came on the TV. Now he's believing in God again because Glenn Beck could go stone cold blind. And God says, you're perfect. I'm going to use you to heal Glenn Beck so he, you know, his eyeballs work. That don't make sense to me. That makes perfect sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Makes sense
God
to me.
Using you, Matt. I don't think yeah. God, you're the one that God's supposed to use.
Thank you very much, Jason. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Pastor William Rennick.
Let me ask you, what is it about I'm going to put my hand on Glenn Beck's eyeballs and heal him that you don't understand?
I just don't think you can do it. I'm not even saying that I don't believe in faith healing. I'm saying you can't do it if you... a mere few years ago, didn't even believe God existed.
Now I do, since Glenn Beck is going blind.
877-876-PHIL, world Phil famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show here with Pastor William Rennick as we talk about the story here. And I want to get to some of what Glenn Beck had said. It's probably a story that is not quite as dramatic as it sounds, but it is very interesting.
Well, I want to play that song, though.
Right, I understand. But if we can get the backstory here on what this story is about, then I think we're a long way toward. Okay, what are we doing now?
No, I want to. This is the song, though, that I was telling you about. And but different.
Yeah, this is the song about Get On It. Get On It.
Yeah. See, this is. I was going against this kind of music. But he says, get down on it. I don't understand how to get away with that, you know. So I've a long time I have preached against the sin of man. And I use the sin of man to get there. Get down on it, see, look at that. You think I'm gonna dance? I ain't dancing that. He's talking about dropping down on something, you know. I think that's it, you know. That's got nothing to do with it.
What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Turn that off, please. Turn that off, please. What are we talking about?
Where'd the music go?
I turned it down.
I don't know. All right, well, that blows that segment.
No, it doesn't blow anything. We're talking about... I'm gonna get to some of this audio here from this past weekend. If you don't mind, turn off, please, bud, turn off the get down on it. Thank you. Liberals might believe that Glenn Beck has been blind all along, but now the television talk show host says he is suffering from macular dystrophy and may actually lose his sight. Let's listen. It's really not as dramatic, I don't think, anyway, as some people would lead us to believe. At an event this weekend, Glenn Beck claims he may be going blind. The audio was recorded by an audience member here. It's less than optimal, but we'll try and tweak it up there for you.
A couple of weeks ago, I went to the doctor because of my eyes. I can't focus my eyes. So I went to the best doctor I could find while I could still go to the best doctor I could find. And he said, you have macular dystrophy. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, it's kind of full range. You could go blind in the next year, or you might not. I said, did you just charge me $1,000 for knowing what I already knew my whole life? You're a doctor like I'm a doctor, aren't you?
Okay, and here is the second part. He starts to cry while discussing his faith.
If you know God, it is the greatest blessing you will ever
never know. I was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. It is the greatest blessing.
That's very powerful.
Oh, no. Let me tell you something about that. And this is what I'm talking about. The man lied.
He did what?
I said that man lied. Let me tell you why he lied. That Glenn Beck is a liar. And he's going to get up there and talk about, he said he knew all along his whole life that he's going to lose his sight because he knew he had that macular, that dystrophy that he got, right? You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what I'm, what are you saying?
I'm saying, he said, I went to the doctor, the man said, I'm going to go blind. I said, well, you already told me something. I know I'm going to go blind.
No, he said, the doctor said to him, you could go blind and you could not. He said, I just paid you $1,000 for something I've known my whole life. I could go blind and I could not.
No, he didn't say that.
Yes, he did. I could play it again.
I know what he said, but what he meant to say, what he's saying there is, when he was a little tiny kid, he got diagnosed, so he know what he got, and he lied to those people in that auditorium this weekend, and you want to give Glenn Beck a pass.
No, you're not listening to what I'm saying. I don't want to give him a pass. I'm just saying that Glenn's not lying there. He said that he's known his whole life. Any of us would know our whole lives that we could go blind or we could not.
No. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. I'm telling you now, if Glenn Beck come to my church, I heal his ass. Okay, I'll forget all about what he say about black people. I'll heal his ass.
Well, he's never... What has he said about black people?
Oh, come on, man. You know something? I know you're smarter than most people. You can't be that stupid. You can't be that stupid. Every time I say that, there's got to be one man say, well, what did he say? What did he not say? He said that Obama's a... He called everybody the N-word.
No, he did not.
Well, he might as well have. Some of the stuff that he talked.
You know what? That's what I call... You're hoping... that you hear that word come out of that man's mouth. 877-876-PHIL. Ann in Portland, Oregon. Ann, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Rennick. Go ahead, please.
Well, I have several points to make. This man, he said...
I can barely hear the young lady. If she could speak up a little bit, I'd very much appreciate it.
Can you speak up, Ann?
I am speaking up as loud as I can speak. And not
okay,
yell.
Go ahead, please.
I don't yell.
Go ahead.
All right. This man says, I hate Glenn Beck. Well, you can't. No one can hate anybody and enter into heaven. And another thing is that he keeps calling it his church. And it isn't. If it was the right church, if it was through Jesus, it is Christ Church, not his church. And he said, and the Bible says, many in that day will say,
I don't think so.
Many will say in that day, talking about.
I'm a preacher. I've got my preacher. I've been a preacher.
Many,
I know.
But
I know, but I got my
preacher. You haven't learned how to listen to anybody else, though, have you?
Well, but you don't know. You're telling me a bunch of mess that you have not. You have read up on it.
You don't want to hear, do you? What I'm
you
saying.
I've heard you. I listened to you. And
you're
everything you
listening.
Say. Is
you
wrong.
You haven't heard me at
you
all.
You said a man. Yes, I have. I heard you just say, just now, that Jesus Church is this and Jesus Church is that, and you can't do this and you can't do that. So you're telling me all this stuff. I said, well, what's your credential? How can you tell me these things?
Well, she's reading from the Bible.
Well,
I'm a follower of Jesus. And I'm speaking to this man on the phone that it has the show, and I want to express to him and to the people that you've
yes.
already expressed to.
What do you think about me healing Glenn Beck?
I don't think much about you at all.
Don't you think that's love? You don't think that?
Pardon?
You don't think it's love that I want to heal Glenn Beck? I want to touch his eyes and make him see again. He's bawling like a baby.
You know what? I have very, very, very little sight in one eye and none in the other. And I wouldn't come to you even if you could make me see, because the Bible says many in that day will say to me, Lord, Lord, Didn't I cast out demons, and didn't I do
so
this,
sorry.
And didn't
I... You know, I love you, but this is what I say about that one good eyeball. You know why I did that? You know,
that was the rudest thing I've ever heard.
I had to do it. God told me to do it. You know why?
You know what? You're lying.
Because you are speaking like a whited sepulcher now. You are speaking like the whited sepulcher, and you're speaking from the Bible, and you're talking all this mess like you live it, like you are better than everybody else. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. Do you know you're a sinner?
I know I'm a sinner saved by grace.
All right.
And
you don't...
And I know that the things that are coming out of...
Judge me because I belch.
I can judge you
because you belched. I can judge you.
Why can you judge me?
Because I'm not necessarily a Christian, and I think you're being rude to this lady as she is trying to talk, and that was a horrible thing to say when she admitted that she's losing sight, to say, this is what I got to say to your one good eyeball.
Well, that's a lot.
Now you go ahead, Ann. Say what you want to say.
Well, the Bible says many will say to me in that day, talking about Judgment Day, didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do many wonderful things and gifts and healing people and everything in your name? And he's going to say, I never knew you. And he's going to, Jesus is going to say, I've never known you. And this is a man.
Story, not that gay stuff.
This is a man.
Excuse me, Pastor Rennick, we can hear you.
Sorry.
This is a man that I can tell by what comes out of his mouth that he's never known Jesus, and Jesus has never known.
He's full of
Hold on, would you shut up? Excuse me. I'm sorry, Ann. What are you doing?
Listen to Jeff Beck.
We can hear everything.
Oh, sorry.
Well, all I can say is that I would not even... I wouldn't go to him if he could heal me, because he's not of the Lord.
Ann, I was thinking about healing you, but I've decided I better not.
You know what? I've learned more since I've been blind about life. I wouldn't go back to sight if I could, because I am learning so much by walking in the light. I walk in the light. I walk by faith, not by sight.
And say that again?
It's been a blessing.
You know what? I learned I had hemorrhoids. I learned from that, but I don't want to every time sit down.
You know what?
Keep learning.
The Bible says not to talk coarsely, too. And you are a very coarse man. Bible says to watch your speech.
You ain't found one thing about me you like. You ain't found one thing about me you like, and it's still well before midnight.
Well, you'll find out.
Well, thank you, dear, for being with us. I really appreciate your call. It's been very nice. You're a very nice lady, and I apologize for Pastor Rennick.
Wait a minute. Don't talk about me like I'm not here just because I'm black.
That's got nothing to do with that. This is what I got to say to your eyeball.
Oh, get over it, will you?
That was the crudest thing.
Ann didn't care. She thought it was funny.
Anyway, Ann, thank you very much, dear. All right?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, you know something? You just made me look like the back end of a horse with that young lady.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because I'm sitting here. I'm doing, you know, I got my timing down. I'm giving her the word. And you were so sorry. You made me look like an ass. You know, she was all... I almost had her, you know?
All you're doing... You know, that woman, she can barely hear you. She's like... Look at man, she's on the phone, she's all about Jesus, and that's cool. I thought that's what you were.
Sure I am, but a guy's got to have laughs. I'm sorry.
Get him off the phone tonight. What's his problem?
And early said he got a 24-pack of Coca-Cola.
He got a 24-pack of what?
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I got a Coca-Cola.
What?
Coca-Cola. 877-876-PHIL. Still to come, a sperm bank like celebrity pictures to categorize the donors. Meaning, if you go in and you're a woman and you want to have a baby and you want to know what the sperm donor is going to look like, they'll pull out a bunch of pictures of movie actors, movie stars, and celebrities. And you can say, oh, I like that one, as he holds up a picture of Regis Philbin. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Is that coming back on?
Nope.
Boy, that's a chip.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Thank you, Pastor Rennick, and Colleen Kristen Brewster we had on the show tonight. Boy, I haven't talked to her in about 10 years. She's still doing her bulimia cruises, and I don't care whether she wants me to use the words bulimia, throw up, puke, or not. I ain't saying it's just called drop the weight. And the food comes out of your stomach when it feels like it, and you've opened the gate. It's called throwing up.
She's not, yeah, but that's not the way it's supposed to be said.
I know if I was, she's not on the show, man.
She hasn't bought no airtime or anything.
It doesn't matter. She's on a show trying it out.
Well, she tried it out, and I guess she ain't going to buy my show, okay? Because I ain't going to be on here saying, you know, whatever it is she says she wants me to say, man.
Say, all you got to say is, excuse me. She said all you got to say.
Belch here, man. What's with you guys belching?
Man, he's done. Just because Rennick doing it.
No, but all she's going to say is, all you got to say is don't say puke.
Listen, bud, I'm not, number one, doing a fake interview with an advertiser so people think it's a real interview and it's actually somebody paying me to be on my show. B, I'm not going to have that person tell me what words I can or cannot use. C, all of the above.
What's that mean?
What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Man, I'm going to belch. You think it's funny, don't you? You belch, Rennick belches.
I got one off. I got a good one.
Sarah Palin uses Twitter to criticize Ground Zero Mosque, gets slammed for poor grammar. This is a story, folks, that is a big, fat, just a big, greasy waste of your time, I'm telling you. Some guy over here at the Daily News, somebody else at the Wall Street Journal, some other guy, not the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, some other fruit ball, all these cats got together and flipped out over the fact that Palin did something that everybody else does, which is she wrote something bad and so she erased it and put a better thing in there. In other words, how many times have you been on Twitter, have you written something that was misspelled? Oh, got to delete that, do it again. Wrote it again, misspelled, got to delete that, do it again.
You probably done it like 100 times or something.
What does that mean?
You probably think you're stupid or something?
No, but you told me that you're always having to delete.
One time, yeah, especially in the morning. If it's early in the morning and I'm tweeting something, I don't know, why am I sitting on Twitter early in the morning when I can barely see and all I need is coffee and all I want is something to eat, right, some breakfast? Am I sitting on Twitter? But yeah, you know, you'll erase it. Well, Palin did it and it made big news. Here's what she wrote. Peace-seeking Muslims, please understand Ground Zero Mosque is unnecessary provocation. It stabs hearts, she tweeted. Please reject it in the interest of healing. Well, she didn't like that, so she erased it, and she put up another one. She erased that, and she put up another one because she misspelled a word. So the point being that it's starting to get a little embarrassing here. I mean, I don't mind if you've got a problem with Sarah Palin and you have articulated what the problem is, and we can move on from there. But some of these guys that are obsessed with this chick to the point of dull, man. You know what I mean? Everything with Palin. Schuster. That guy over at MSNBC, that Four Eyes, that guy Olbermann, all these guys with this Palin, man, till you want to throw up.
Yeah, but she ought to know how to spell it and everything.
What are you talking about, she ought to know how to spell it?
If she's going to be the president of the United States? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but man, it doesn't matter if she's the president. She don't have to learn to use Twitter.
Well, she may. Obama has a BlackBerry.
Obama does, huh?
I mean, Obama does.
Obama's got a BlackBerry. Okay, does that mean he's on Twitter?
Why does he have a BlackBerry?
Because there's other stuff he can do on a BlackBerry.
Oh, my God, man. You think the reason why Obama got a BlackBerry is because he's on Twitter all the time? Damn, man.
All I'm saying is she's going to be on, if she's going to be on Twitter and she's going to be the president of the United States, people better, they don't want to know she can spell.
I don't give a good sweet. Hey, bud, if I'm going to vote for somebody's going to be president, okay, of the United States, and I'm going to judge on whether they can be president of the United States on whether they can freaking spell on Twitter? Are you high?
I don't even understand you. You're talking all about how dumb this guy is or how dumb somebody else am, and then she comes along and sounds like an idiot, and you're all in love with it.
Yeah, in love with it?
In love with it? What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, you probably think, well, why do you care?
Why do you care, man? I know why you hate her, because your girlfriend hates her.
Yeah, Vivian, I don't like her.
Yeah, what Vivian says, that's where Bud goes.
Yeah, man, you know, she got a ring to your nose, man.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, it's exactly why you hate Palin, because your girlfriend hates Palin. You don't know why you hate Palin. You know, you can hate Palin, but don't hate her because she can't spell on Twitter, you jackball. God.
That's not why Vivian hates her.
Why does Vivian hate her?
On account of the stuff she says.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really...
That's really clear, man.
The former governor of Alaska has something to say to Muslims in New York. Stop the Ground Zero Mosque. That's what she wanted to say. But she originally wrote, slop the Ground Zero Mosque. And so Michael Sheridan of the Daily News, he got a screenshot of it. And he's all just like, you know, thumbing it there at the Daily News, man. Why don't you find a life? I mean, find one fast. It may take a few archaeologists. You may have to go on Nat Geo, man.
You got to go on Nat Geo and find a life.
Oh, look at him all laughing about it now. It's not clear what sparked Palin's post regarding the mosque, which came on the hill. It's not clear what sparked them, because she's a politician and she's a public personality in terms of the political scene, and that's why she was talking about it. Are you an idiot or something? The answer, yes. And I thought the Daily News was all in the bag with the Republican Party, dude. Anyway, which came on the heels of Tea Party leader Mark Williams getting kicked out of his position over an offensive blog post he wrote regarding colored people. Palin had also criticized... Dig that. You see how they tied in Palin with the Tea Party dude who said colored people? Wow, man. This stuff ain't even, it's not, there's not even a little bit of subtlety, man. They're just, it's like out there. There's no more reporting. Palin and her stuff about the mosque has got nothing to do with some dumbass named Mark Williams talking about colored people, or does it?
I don't know, man. I mean, I ain't saying I'm going to blame her for that. I mean, I don't like her either, man. I'm going to blame her for that.
Yeah, but she was on a Tea Party.
Yeah, she's been to the Tea Party. But don't you understand, man? Just because she went to the Tea Party and spoke at one of their events doesn't mean that she's down with their stupid-ass leader. Forget it. We'll be back.
Yeah, see, you're all... See, you got caught.
Caught at what, man? I'm not caught at anything. 877-876-PHIL. Coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And moonshine is suddenly the thing among young people. I don't know.
Phil, and you, bud.
I love it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Late last night, we established that there was some leakage in the capping stack
itself. I just kind of chuckled and threw it back in my backpack. Like,
I don't know why Robert Shapiro did what he did, to be honest. I mean, if he's representing her ethically as an attorney, he should have followed it.
A lot of times our clients are heterosexual couples, about 40% actually, and they're most
you
important.
You blow it!
Things are bad.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Through the looking glass and elsewhere, we go to find that said truth. Well, kind of an interesting kickoff to the week here. Boy, it's the middle of summer. It is the dog days of summer. It has been relatively cool here at the El Pacifico, but
yeah, I noticed that they're very much the what do they call a moon gloom? Call it June gloom, man. Are you kidding? You've been a million times, man.
It's called June gloom. Why don't you get that?
Because, well, no, I know a June gloom, but for some reason I thought about a moon because you guys are talking about it.
The moon has to do with the tides, man. Our radio show is officially a coastal radio show, a beach radio show. The reason why we are coastal and beach is not to be trendy, not to be hippie. It's because we want to keep our eyes, we're looking along the coast. We're like the Coast Guard. We want to keep our eyes open for the enemy, as you like to say.
Right.
But June gloom is the fog that California, the coast here, are part of the state, folks. And everywhere across the country, there's different kinds of little weather features, you know, when I was in Atlanta, they had a certain kind of term they used for wintertime in Atlanta. And when I was in Minnesota, they had a certain kind of term they used for wintertime in Minnesota, you know. And
yeah, federal disaster.
Right, federal.
Will you shut up, man? Not federal disaster.
It's a certain kind of, you know what I'm talking about, right? Federal disaster.
Well, what do they call it in Atlanta?
I don't know, man. They had a term in Atlanta called
Blackberry Winter or some jazz like that. It's pretty cornball.
Sounds pretty suspicious.
Yeah, okay, man, whatever. And here we have the really messed up kind of June gloom. All right, it's time here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I want to mention, by the way, our website, philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show each and every night. If you were watching tonight, you would have seen me and Colleen Kristen Brewster going at it, and I, you know, pardon the expression, and David G. Hall, and you would have seen me along with my very special guest, Pastor William Rennick, as he went on and on and on about how he could cure Glenn Beck's blindness. And you can also see that video, again, on demand on our website. We have a five-day video on demand library. We have almost an unlimited audio archive that goes back years and years and years. Many of those are becoming downloads even as we speak, so it's well worth it. PhilHendryShow.com, get a backstage pass. Where the hell is this story, man, that you were talking about, Jason? I thought I printed it off. I guess I didn't. There are 13 interesting facts about sex that have been published in Men's Fitness magazine. And, you know, I'm very suspicious of a men's magazine that asks about the ultimate orgasm. Now, here's why I am suspicious. There's a very famous scene in one of those Woody Allen movies where the girl says to him, "My doctor," you know, he's talking to this girl at a party, and she says, "I had an orgasm once, but my doctor told me it was the wrong kind." And he goes, "Really? Because even the worst one I've ever had was right on the money." And every man that heard that relates to it, because no man ever has anything other than the absolutely correct orgasm. And this is extremely uncomfortable to be talking about.
Well, why are you talking about it?
Because it's in this magazine story you gave me.
Oh. Well, a lot of guys want to know about an ultimate orgasm.
No, they don't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God, some chick wrote this article. Want the ultimate orgasm? Are you wondering which countries have the best lovers? We have the answers to this and more. So, in other words, Men's Fitness magazine, a magazine for men... A magazine for men went out of its way to find out which countries have the best lovers. And went out of its way to find out the ultimate orgasm for men. Men have already figured that one out for themselves. You know?
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Uh-huh. As much time as you spend working on it.
Shut up!
So here we go. 46% of women would give up getting laid for 2 weeks rather than logging off of the internet for the same amount of time, according to a survey conducted by Intel. Now, that's some information that a guy can use. 46% of women would give up getting laid for 2 weeks. That's a very crude way of putting it.
What?
46% would give up getting laid.
Well, we're in safe harbor.
Oh, well, get a load of the FCC commissioner.
Yeah, man, when you learn that?
I do reading.
We're in safe harbor. Well, I got news for you, Ace. No, we ain't. There's no such thing as safe harbor anywhere.
What are you talking about?
There's no such thing as safe harbor. I'm sorry, folks, we're getting technical here. I want to read this article. Why don't you just...
Well, what do you mean there's no safe harbor? The FCC say... The safe harbor.
The FCC got nothing to say about it. The FCC has... All the FCC does is exist to make radio stations nervous. The FCC exists to make radio companies nervous. The FCC exists so that radio companies will go out and hire lawyers to tell their air talent what not to say, even though they really don't know what it is they're supposed to say or not say.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is, if you say... Getting laid in safe harbor, FCC can't touch you.
Doesn't make any difference what the FCC can do. Don't you understand? This is something the FCC doesn't understand. This is why you guys at the FCC, not only should you be sued, and not only should you be sued to the point where you are disassembled and found to be a unconstitutional body, the damage that you've done to this business, I don't know that we will ever really be able to quantify. Once your foul presence has finally been burned off the body politic of this country, we will set about the task of finding out just how much damage you've done. And it's in the billions of dollars, there's no question. The billions of dollars that you, the FCC, when you began to meddle in
program content. Forget about whether or not it was the right frequency and how many watts of power. And now you guys are getting real interested in the internet. Isn't that nice? Baby's found a new toy. Oh, they're interested in the internet.
Man, you got to watch it, man.
Why?
That's the FCC you're talking about.
I don't give a damn. What are they going to do to me?
They can get you fired.
They already get guys fired. They already get guys fired. They don't even have to pick up a phone. They don't have to say anything to get guys fired. There's somewhere in this country tonight, some guy said, hey, Men's Fitness Magazine says that 46% of all women would rather give up getting laid for 2 weeks. Aha! Right there. Somebody heard that. The station's general manager, the program director, getting laid. And they fired him. Okay?
But why? He's got safe harbor.
It doesn't matter because they fired that cat rather than get complaint phone calls from people and get maybe a letter from the FCC, which means they have to hire a lawyer and they might even have to suffer a boycott of advertisers. Do you think that they've got that kind of money or guts? No. They just fire the guy.
Yeah, but
you get safe harbor.
Man, it doesn't matter if he got safe harbor. That's what Phil's trying to say.
Why would he fire the guy if he got safe harbor?
Because those guys are scared of everything and everybody. Because those program directors and general managers, the whole broadcasting business is so frightened that they're not going to make their billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars this minute, that all they have ever done is fire people rather than challenge this FCC. Well, guess what it's gotten them? Absolutely nowhere. $1 a share. Their companies are going out of business. The content is soon going to be owned by the talent, not by the companies. The companies are going to come begging for content, man.
Oh, man, here he goes again.
Man, you're not going to give a speech now, right, man?
About what are you... Oh.
You're going to go give a speech about an FCC and everything.
Hey, excuse me, can I just make a point here?
Yeah.
Who was the guy that brought up Safe Harbor?
Well, I mean, technically he did.
No, I'm not talking to you. Who was the guy that brought up Safe Harbor?
I did. But that was only about the one issue having to do on getting laid and everything. Not about your philosophies.
Oh, well, you know something, bud? If you're bringing up the FCC, you know where it's going to go, okay?
Yeah, well, I can hope at least one time that I bring up the FCC that you're not going to go off and have a cow about everything.
Yeah, you've got a point there.
I ain't having a cow, okay?
Yeah, every time I bring up FCC, you're going to go and you'll have your cow. Go ahead, Mr. Henry, go have your cow now.
Yeah, man, you got a point every time on a cow.
What are you guys talking about, have a cow?
What do you write down, man?
Well, you... Belt you. Men's Fitness Magazine. 46% of women would give up getting laid rather than log off the internet, if you'll pardon the expression, for the same amount of time, according to the survey conducted by Intel. You want the ultimate orgasm? Bud?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Abstain from any sexual activity at all for 3 weeks. That's the amount of time it takes for your testosterone levels to peak and boost your libido, according to a study published in the World Journal of Bullcrap. Well, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to say, man, let's forget it.
Let's see. There are 500 to 1,000 deaths per year. Here you go. You want to know just how dumb this country is? There are 500 to 1,000 deaths per year from autoerotic asphyxiation.
What's that?
Hold on for a minute. That's equal to the number of murders in New York City each year. Autoerotic asphyxiation, as far as I can tell, is when these guys have orgasms, they also strangle themselves.
What you talk about?
Yeah, man, they do.
They do. They take a towel, and that's what they think happened to what's-his-name, that Carradine guy.
John?
John? John Carradine?
Yeah.
No, John Carradine, he's dead.
I know. From the auto asphyxiation.
Not John Carradine, is the grandfather. Who was the guy?
My name's Robert.
Yeah, Robert. Who was the guy?
I'll look it up. Steve.
Oh, it's David? Okay. A voice in my head just said David.
Yeah, I know who that was. Charles telling you about it, but he could have looked it up.
All right. Spain, Brazil, and Italy produce the best lovers, reports global research site OnePoll.com. Uh-huh. The worst Germans, who women dubbed too smelly. Oh, this is horse dung. This is not even factual. This is based in a lot of old stereotypes. This poll is, it could have been like 40 years old. It probably is. Englishmen were too lazy, Swedes finished too quickly, and for the Yanks, they landed somewhere in the middle. Forgetting the shower after a romp? 36% of people under the age of 35 go right onto Facebook and Twitter after sex, so they stink to high heaven for weeks.
Oh, man. So they have sex, and then they go and have a dinner at a restaurant, and people go, oh, I'll have the fish.
Oh, shut up.
That pump of the do.
All right, and then finally, the average American man's... I just find this, you know, I'm call me old-fashioned, but I hope there's no kids listening. The average American man's erect penis is 5 to 7 inches long with a circumference of 4 to 6 inches, according to the Kinsey Institute.
Well, does that mean that I'm abnormal?
I don't want to hear about it, okay?
Yeah, but
11% of guys say they use sex to relieve stress. 11? You help her get a good night's sleep. University of Pennsylvania researchers claim that women in stable relationships get better shut-eye than single women do. This is terrible.
Terrible.
These, you know, there's a reason why I don't read these surveys, not because I'm offended by them, but because they're not even new. I could have been reading the same thing 10 years ago. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. A new beverage of choice for tweeters and, or for tweeners and teens, coffee. And maybe, hopefully, something more interesting than that, bud. Could you find it? 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our website, philhendryshow.com. So when you go over there after the show, you see that we put up our show log. You can see what the hell was going on and who got killed and who's still standing. Our show log right there on our news feed. And if you have a backstage pass, you can comment on the news feed. You can go over there and lay into anyone and anything. As a matter of fact, there are people on our news feed that are ripping me on a regular basis just because it feels good. So go over there, and or that maybe that's just you, but with five different subscriptions, huh?
Maybe.
So go on over there and check out our archives. We are turning them into downloads as we speak. And our daily archive, which means that you can listen to this show tomorrow, download it onto your iPod, and plus coming soon, our iTunes podcasts as well as downloads. So it's all ahead here on our website, philhendryshow.com. Lindsay Lohan's so-called father, she's calling him her ex-father, and the story has more to be disgusted with than it has. It's really interesting, at least for me. And some people are so obvious, you know, that the fact they don't know it is amazing, isn't it? This guy, this father of Lindsay Lohan, this Michael Lohan. Now, here's a guy who has been a douchebag from way back, you know.
Yeah, seen that guy coming.
Well, but I mean, even what's his name? Michael Lohan Sr. Even though everybody in the world knows what a sack of crap you are, Lohan. You still are out there doing what? Nobody can figure out what you're talking about. Nobody knows what you're talking about, man. I care about my... You know, nobody believes you care about your daughter, so why don't you stop with the caring about your daughter? No one believes that at all. You're a megalomaniac. Okay? You, as far as anybody can tell, you aren't much of a father. This kid has got more problems. I don't know where the hell the mother is of this child. I guess she's around. But the fact is, you, man, you're just, everybody's tired of looking at you. Now, I know that there are these sad cases that want to stick your kisser on TV every now and again. Who's the latest? Who is the sad loser that, oh, TMZ.
Yeah.
I mean, who are the very good reporters that, here is Michael Lohan, and he's the father of Lindsay, if you didn't know. He claims her attorney, Robert Shapiro, is only involved in the case to promote his sober living home. Now, I have to tell you that Lindsay Lohan checked into a place called Pickford Lofts,
which is a rehab center that I guess is used by a lot of celebrities. It was founded by Robert Shapiro. And Mr. Shapiro today bowed out of, or I should say yesterday, technically, bowed out of representing Lindsay Lohan as her attorney. He had told her that she needed to go into rehab, that she needed to stay in rehab. Oh, I know what he told her. He told her that she needed to go into jail, that she needed to accept jail, and he would be happy to represent her. Now, I don't know, and I don't care, to be honest with you. But because Michael Lohan's got a problem with the guy, I figure Robert Shapiro's okay. Now, if this guy really cared about his daughter, he would be handling this stuff out front like this. He'd be handling it behind the scenes with common friends and with people who know. And he's really just he's tiring to look at. He's tiring to listen to. Troubled actress Lindsay Lohan has slammed her ex-father on Twitter from her rehab stay. She says the guy scares her. She's currently staying in a sober living facility ahead of beginning a 90-day jail term for breaching probation. She blasted her estranged father, Michael Lohan, for his comments on her life and has warned him to stay away from her. She said, "I don't want my ex-father anywhere near me, no matter where I am. He's crazy and he scares me." Well, crazy, anybody that looks at that guy.
Yeah, tell by the way he looked through his face, he's crazy and a crap house rat.
Yeah. Lindsay's comments came after Michael blasted her new lawyer, Robert Shapiro, over a conflict of interest. Michael believes the lawyer should do more to appeal the 24-year-old star's prison sentence instead of encouraging her to enter the facility, which he founded in memory of his son. Here is Michael Lohan.
I don't know why Robert Shapiro did what he did, to be honest. I mean, if he's representing her ethically as an attorney, he should have filed an appeal. And personally, he went through the same thing I am with Lindsay as his son. I don't know why he put her in a sober house, because it really doesn't get off the prescription drugs, and that was the issue with his son. It's more like he's promoting his sober house than he is trying to defend Lindsay.
Why couldn't I hear anything in there? I don't know where he was, but obviously he was someplace where he could stand there and talk to TMZ. He's repeatedly claimed Lindsay is addicted to prescription drugs. He told E! News it's a conflict of interest if he's putting her in his own sober house but not doing anything for her legally. But when you have an attorney like Robert Shapiro, who went through so much with his own son and knows the effects of prescription medications, it doesn't make sense that he did nothing to appeal her case and get her off the meds before she goes to jail. So anyway, that's...
That ain't a story either.
Yeah, that's... We're 0 for 2 so far this hour. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
With four boys struggling in the Florida surf, including one of his sons, Little League baseball coach Darren McGahee was among the dads who swam out to save them. McGahee had jumped in with the boys flailing away in water over their heads. One of them was his son, Noah. The rescue became more difficult the further the older McGahee went out there. "We thought we were going into 5 feet of deep water to pull the kids out," said Jay Morris, another coach and rescuer. "No one thought much of it." However, McGahee's heroic action last Wednesday cost the 42-year-old Georgia man his life. In collecting the boys, he went missing in the subtle undertow off Navarre Beach, and he drowned. On Tuesday, members of the 12-and-under Locust Grove Razorbacks, dressed in uniform, attended the man's funeral in the town where he lived. He was their assistant coach. Two other dads found Darren McGahee, pulled him to the beach, barely conscious, and frantically administered CPR. Other parents did their best to shield Noah McGahee and half-brother Austin, who had tagged along on the Florida road trip. Family members remained in a state of shock over how something so well-intentioned as a baseball trip could turn out so numbing. McGahee left behind his wife of 12 years, Ann Hightower, and three sons, including Dustin McGahee. He devoted himself to coaching since he had quit playing, coaching as many as three teams at once. He had taught most of the Razorbacks how to play the game. His easy temperament contradicted the stereotype of the overly involved Little League dad. Said Jeff McGahee, fighting back tears, he never got mad, he didn't have a mean bone in his body. Stephanie Mounted, a self-described team mom, said her son Cole is a teammate and good friend of Noah McGahee's. Cole Mallett wasn't on the beach when his coach drowned, but the incident has left a deep scar. I don't mean any disrespect. I really don't. I, honest to God, I don't. But I'm going to tell you something right now. And I don't have the particulars here. I don't have the particulars here. But I think that what I'm about to say is a generally, would be a generally accepted intelligent thing to say. Now, the word's got to get out there sooner or later. And every summer it's the same thing. And we can talk all we want, you know, about how tragic this, that, or something else. If you don't teach your kids to swim, teach them how to swim.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
Yeah, I mean, don't most people know how to dog paddle?
No, most people apparently don't know how to dog paddle. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, what, you're not always going to swim.
What do you mean you're not always going to swim? You know what I said in the pre-show, and I mean this. Not teaching a kid how to swim, and I'm going to tell you something right now. These are Little League baseball players, 12 and under, which means essentially if you're a Little Leaguer, Little League, which means you're swinging at a pitched ball, not a tee ball, you're a 9, 10, 11-year-old kid. You ought to know how to swim, friend. By the time you're, to be perfectly honest with you, by the time you're 4 or 5 years of age, you should at least know how to move around in the water to keep yourself afloat. By the time you're 5, easy, easy.
5? You probably want to get him out in an Olympic or something.
No, I don't. No, I don't at all. I said in the pre-show, not teaching a kid how to swim is like saying, like not teaching somebody that water puts out fire, you know. And the guy says, well, what do you mean? Well, this is what puts out, I don't need to know what puts out fire. Do I look like an idiot or something? Well, just in case, you know, just in case. I'm not going to burn up. You think I want to burn up? No, I don't think you want to burn up. But you never know. I never know. Only idiots set themselves on fire, friend. Well, I can't disagree with that. But by the same token, maybe some other guy would set you on fire. What? What are you talking about? Only an idiot lets his house burn down. I don't need that. You know these cats that know how to put out fires. What am I, a Boy Scout or something? You know, this has been an attitude that's long time in this country that swimming is, well, you know, I don't have the time to teach the kid how to swim. Is that right? Well, maybe you'd like to drag the kid out like this poor man and these people. You'd like to drag a dead body out of the water. You know, it's your choice. Have your take your pick. Have a ball. I mean, I'm telling you, the people that don't know how to swim, it's embarrassing. Swim, man. It's like knowing how to walk.
You know, what do you think? Everybody's Aquaman or something?
Bud, you know what I'm... Do you know how to swim?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I jumped in the water one time and then swam.
Because you jumped in the water one time because you liked the water, so you swam because it was a recreation, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Robert?
Yeah.
All right. You guys think it's just a lot of fun, but it's something, if you don't know how to swim, you'll die, okay?
Yeah, well, how come somebody in the water if they don't know how to swim?
Well, ain't that an interesting question? How come someone's in the water if they don't know how to swim? But funny, it happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know, but...
You want to pass a law to keep people who don't know how to swim out of the water, or do you want to just make sure everybody damn well knows how to swim? Which is it?
They ought to pass a law and...
Oh, get out of here. They ought to pass a law and...
Well, just in case.
No, no. This is... You know what? This... The entire problem with the human race, in a lot of ways, boils down to what we're talking about right now. There are people that would want to pass a law that says, well, people that don't know how to swim, it should be illegal for them to be in the water. There are people who would want to do that, you know? Because that's exactly what we do, don't we? If you don't know how to do this, that, something else, then you can't. We're afraid you might this, that, Okay? I'm shocked. I'm stunned. I'm amazed that people who drown in the ocean, who don't know how to swim, that there are not more lawsuits pressed by those individuals saying, I don't know how to swim, so why would you make the ocean so inviting by putting lifeguards there? I could assume, because I don't know how to swim, I got to be able to go into the water and be saved, right?
Yeah, but no, man. The lifeguard is there if you get caught, like, eaten up by a shark or something like that.
Yeah. Like, remember that one movie we seen the other day where all that was left was the girl's arm?
Jaws, yeah.
Yeah.
About what?
That's why the lifeguard's there.
The lifeguard's there if you get hit by a shark?
Yeah.
No, it ain't, man. The guy's there if you get in a serious situation, okay? But it's assumed, and rightfully so, that if your ass is at the beach and you go into the water, Jim, you know how to swim, man. Ain't you ever been in the ocean?
Yeah, I've been in the ocean. I swim in the ocean, okay? But sometimes people don't know how to swim in the ocean. And even though I know how to swim, then I'm...
If somebody doesn't know how to swim in the ocean, then what the hell are they doing in the ocean?
On account of they make it look inviting on the TV.
Oh, you're a jackball.
They do. And they gotta quit it. Because every time they put on a TV ad, like, come on down to Florida, or, I mean, I wouldn't go to Florida because I live in California, but...
Yeah, you got that right.
But...
Well, you guys knock it off with the Florida stuff.
But, well, Florida's okay, but I just say come down and fish and eat and stuff like that. But I'm not going to do it, even though it looks great.
Why not?
Because I'm smarter than that. I know if I go down there, if I forget how to swim, which I wouldn't do, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people at home can't see. You got a dead serious look on your face.
Yeah.
If you forget how to swim...
If no, I'm just saying whatever may happen.
If you forget how to swim, though, and they have said to come down to the beach, right?
Wait a minute.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
No, of course I don't know what you're saying, because you're not saying anything that makes sense. If I forget how to swim, and on top of that, I've been lured to the beach because it looks so fantastic on TV, then I ought to be able to sue them for luring me down to the beach.
Well... It stands to reason that they make the TV look good, right?
They make everything look good on TV, man, because they want to sell it, okay?
Yeah, but if they do that, then you go down there, and now you're in the water, and a shark has eaten you. Now what's your family going to say? He didn't know how to swim. A shark ate him, all on account of they made the beach look good.
No, man, no. If I was a judge, I'd throw that out.
Why? You haven't come up with no good reason.
But I've come up with a million. I would not hear. If I was the judge, I'd throw that out so fast, your head would spin.
Why? Give me one good reason.
Because it sucks. That's why. Because it's the stupidest lawsuit in the history of the world. And because of that, it'll probably be brought.
So you admit someone will do it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Someone will do it. I mean, that stands to reason someone's going to do it. The only thing we need to know is there a judge anywhere in this country with the brain power, the savvy, the appreciation of the world law and culture that we live in, that he would look at it, wipe with it, and then throw it away.
Man, I'd love to see that.
No judge is going to hear that case. I went to the beach. I took my brother. He doesn't know how to swim, but he insisted on going because it looked so good. Then he went into the water not knowing how to swim because it looked so good. He got eaten by a shark, and I'm suing the beach for making it look so good to my brother that he wanted to go. That will never, ever, ever get past the preliminary round.
Well, I just think it's worth fighting the right, you know, if it's constitutional.
But, you know, in life, man, make your battles, pick your battles is the old saying. You know that one?
Yeah.
Pick your battles. Don't go to war over something stupid. Don't go to war over something stupid, okay? In other words, don't be like 99% of the human race. Try to stand up for something that's worth it. I'm going to sue because my brother said it looked so good he got eaten by a shark.
All right. If you look at a movie Jaws, because the two of you just said you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
How come that little boy got ate? Because his mother said, let's go down the ocean today. It looks so damn good. The kid got ate.
Yeah, the little boy in the raft.
Yeah, the little boy in the raft, they went down.
Well, what are you telling me, man? He's supposed to sue the freaking beach?
Well, what about that chef? Let everybody go in. And she slapped his face and she said, Sheriff Brody, you let my boy go in, even though you knew that shark, Lord. Yeah,
and the other guy said, I'm not going to have the shark cut open and have that little Kintner boy spill out all over the dock. And then the one scene, he goes, my kids were on that beach, too. That's bitching.
That's great. Nice reading.
Thank you.
You know what? we'll be. What are you doing now?
We're gonna do Iron Swine.
Oh, come on, man.
No, we're gonna do Iron Swine.
All right, Iron Swine next. What are you gonna do?
Jaws.
Great. 877-876 Phil. Coming up next, Iron Swine in Jaws. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Iron Swine.
Phil Hendry.
Time for Iron Swine with the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah.
On this Iron Swine today, he's going to go and get Jaws. Iron Swine is called down to where the Jaws was, and there's the sheriff.
Hey, Iron Swine, I got a shark.
I'm not going to have a little Kinder boy spill out on the dock.
Well, I got to cut it open and everything. Iron Swine. We can find out and look at the content of his stomach.
I'm not going to have...
Right there.
I'm not going to have a half-ass autopsy had the Kinder boy spill onto the dock.
Yeah. Those guys in that boat over there, they're going to die.
Yeah. Get out of the boat. Get out of the channel. It's the Iron Swine shark.
Yeah, a new kind of shark.
Iron Swine goes out. And an Iron Swine shark is coming at him. And wait a second. I got the best sound effect in the world. Hold on for a minute. Wait a minute. Stop. Okay, wait. I just want to do one thing.
What are you doing, bud?
I just got to get a sound effect.
Okay, come on, man.
Wait a minute.
You don't do it like that, man. When you do the thing, you got to keep going.
You just got to get one sound effect.
You guys should have had the sound effects ready before you do the bit. Wait a minute, I gotta do something.
So Iron Swine is out on a boat. Here comes a shark, and he sticks a can of oxygen in its face, and then...
Cameron.
Yay! He blew it up.
It's been Iron Swine. That sucked.
Why?
You don't go, oh, wait a minute, man, I forgot, I got a sound effect I gotta get.
Yeah, but that was bitching though, wasn't it?
No, it sucked, man. It would have been better if you would have said, Iron Swine is paddling around out there. He sees the shark. He shoots it. Boom!
That's what I did do.
Yeah, after, oh, wait a minute, I got to get a sound effect. Unreal, man.
All right, Glenn, I got a better one here for you on the BP story.
Yeah.
When you read the BP story, then you can have the guy say,
they should have put you in a glass jar.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great, man.
You're all Dan at Plainview.
Yeah, I get it, man. It's about the oil. Okay. BP's broken well, and by the way, the spokesman, he said to one of the reporters,
they should have put you in a glass jar.
BP's broken well was leaking oil and gas again Monday for the first time since the company capped it last week. But the Obama administration's spill chief said it was no cause for alarm. The stopper was left in place. When Obama spoke to reporters, he said,
if I travel all the way up there and I find that you've been lying to me.
In other news,
you don't beat him to death.
Don't tell me how to use drops. I know how to use them.
Yeah, no, you don't want to beat him to death, though.
Oh, get a load of you guys. Oh, don't you? You guys butchered up that Iron Swine six ways to sunset, and you're telling me how to use drops. I know how to use drops. Don't worry about it. And as Obama was walking out of the front door of the White House, Biden yelled after him,
bastard from a basket!
All right! Yes!
That was pretty funny.
That's funny! That's gold, man! That's gold, baby! All right, anyway. Ever since the cap was used to bottle up the oil last week, engineers have been watching underwater cameras and monitoring pressure and seismic readings to see whether the well would hold or spring a new leak, perhaps one that could rupture the seafloor and make the disaster even worse. Small amounts of oil and gas started coming from the cap late Sunday, and everybody was standing around and everyone was yelling,
bastard from a basket,
to the guy that put that cap on. So, anyway, God bless you. I'm glad you guys worked the problem, man. You worked the problem. You worked the problem, huh? Ain't that what Gene Kranz said, that Apollo 13 guy?
That's right, man. That's what he said.
Work the problem, people. Let's not make it worse by guessing. That was the great Gene Kranz. He was the flight control guy on Apollo 13. And he said, we haven't lost anybody in space yet, and we ain't going to do it on this watch. And I want all of you guys to have your heads where they ought to be. And I don't want to, you know, have any problems here. And they brought those guys back. So they didn't guess. They said, work the problem, don't guess. Also, seepage from the seafloor was detected over the weekend. At an afternoon briefing in Washington, Allen said BP could keep the cap closed at least another 24 hours as long as the company remained alert for leaks. BP and the government had been at odds over the company's desire to simply leave the cap in place and employ it like a giant cork in a bottle until a relief well being drilled deep underground can be used to plug the well permanently. Allen initially said his preference was to pipe oil through the cap to tankers on the surface to reduce the slight chance that the buildup of pressure inside the well would cause a new blowout. That plan would require releasing millions more gallons of oil into the ocean for a few days during the transition, a spectacle BP apparently wants to avoid. So you understand what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, well, they don't want to have it blow up again.
They don't want it to blow up again, so... But they also don't want to release another few million gallons of oil into the ocean so that they can transition to piping this stuff to surface tankers. They have said, you know, the country has been watching oil released into the Gulf daily. This oil that, God knows, it is the lifeblood of the country. But when you see it just pouring into the Gulf of Mexico, it looks just like filth, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like sewage.
It looks like sewage. Exactly, Robert. God knows we need oil. And this is oil that we've found near our own coasts. We're not fighting any war over it. Of course, we've got to fight with a company, you know, pulling it out of the ground. But I believe in giving people, acknowledging work well done. And I acknowledge that BP worked this problem, and so far, they've solved it. Should it have happened in the first place? Oh, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. Some people would say no, because we never should have been drilling for oil in the first place. But those people, when they say that, those people know full well it's not feasible to have stopped drilling for oil. Not even close. Not even close. Not even close. They know full well it was not feasible to just shut the oil industry in the United States down because they didn't want to see any more drilling done off the coast and all those people losing their jobs, all that work, all that money, all of that. That sector of our economy just collapses because a handful of jackasses who don't really care about people decide we're going to shut the oil drilling industry in the United States down. So they would say that didn't have to happen. Well, they're wrong. Do mistakes happen? Yes, they do. Do you pay for your problem? Do you pay for your mistakes? Yes, you do. Is BP to blame? Yes, they are. And are they also to get credit for working this thing, like Gene Kranz said, working that problem and solving the problem?
They should have put you in a glass jar.
Yes, they are. So I say, BP, good on you, baby. Way to do it. World famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wygan, and our screener, Dan Northcraft. I'm Phil Hendry, just another.
If I travel all the way up.
Just another.
They should have put you in a.
Just another.
Bastard from a basket!
Phil Hendry.